Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Parent Pivot Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Steve Cummings.
And I'm Julia Cummings.
What are we talking about today, sweetie?
Well, we were talking about, before we came on, someone that you had talked to that talked about having a grown child that basically their whole life had been kind of an agitated kind of child. Agitated, I'd also call it contrary or argumentative or
antagonistic,
right. All of those synonyms.
Right.
That, what do you do with someone that kind of has been that way their whole life?
Right.
And it's part of their personality.
Right.
But now they're an adult. And maybe you've kind of come to your wit's end and you're kind of thinking, okay, they haven't outgrown this.
Right.
What am I supposed to do with this?
Right, right. Yeah. We talk a lot about in the podcast, like, you know, various different types of adult children we have. We haven't really talked about this one at all.
Yeah.
Depending on how many kids you have, how many of our adult kids and whatnot, the easy ones are easy. I mean, they just are. You know, but what do you do with the ones that are more challenging, where they challenge your faith? You know, they're not believing in Jesus. They're not going to church, but, you know, just everything is, you know, you say up, they say down. You say left, they say right. And it's kind of hard. It's like, how do you pivot to being a good partner? Because that's the adult child that's like, oh my gosh. And I've talked to some folks. These are friends of mine that I talked to recently. And, you know, it's been this way for a long time.
Right. And it sounds like it's part of the personality. And, you know, we were having a conversation about somebody that we know yesterday about being called a name. Actually, I'll just say somebody actually put this label on me when I was probably in my 30s or 40s, a friend of mine who just started calling me Eeyore. I was going through some tough stuff.
Right.
And I am probably more personality-wise. I can be the life of the party.
Yeah, but,
but I can also be somewhat melancholy. I can be an introvert.
Right.
I can just, you know, sometimes I just want the quiet and the stillness and whatever.
Right.
And so somebody, you know, a friend of mine, she kind of gave me the name Eeyore. She even gave me an Eeyore sweatshirt.
I can't believe he would be. You're not an Eeyore. I've never known you to be an Eeyore.
Oh, I'm sure I have plenty of times in my life. But I think it comes and goes. But part of the thing is, sometimes when somebody gives you a label like that, it's also a wake-up call.
Hmm.
Because it lets you know how you're coming across, even if you don't see yourself that way.
Right.
If you know you're not really that way,
right?
But you're feeling, then you're going to feel misunderstood,
right?
And but it's also a wake up call. It's like, wow, people are perceiving me this way. What do I need to change? And I think part of what I needed to change was making sure that I had that alone time as an introvert, so that, because other people might not necessarily understand that around me. So if you have a child who is a contrarian, so to speak,
just everything is, I mean, it's like oil and vinegar. You're trying to be positive and they're always negative.
I caution you not to say something, but just to be super careful how you say it.
Right.
So I think that it would be okay to talk to your adult child about this, not in a, you do this, you do this, you do this, you've always been this.
Yeah, blah, stay blah, away blah, from blah, your blah, statements.
And no labeling.
Right.
It would need to come about as a specific instance in a specific situation, and perhaps point that out. Perhaps say, you know, I'm hearing from you that, like, you just kind of want to say the opposite. Do you really feel that way? Maybe you need to just ask deeper questions. Do you really feel that way? Or is it just your knee-jerk reaction to say what the opposite of what I say or whatever? Right. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking to my friends that I met a while ago. We were talking about that, and they just I could just really see the grief and the disappointment, but just the the sadness in their hearts. They really want to be close to this adult child, and they I think she's living by herself in another state, and scraping to make ends meet and things. But like even when it comes to scripture, she'll read something in the Bible and say, "Why? Well, if God's against this, why would I want to like that God?" I mean, just it was just always like. And again, it's contrary to everything they say or do. And so what do you do in that situation? How do you pivot to a partner with a adult child who's always antagonistic, difficult, the glass is half full, doesn't buy into your values or your faith?
The glass is half empty.
Half full. That's true. I'm a half full guy. One of the things that came to mind for me is it's going to be more challenging and more going to take more of our emotional and mental energy to love that adult child, because if you got other ones in the family, those are the easy ones. Especially if there's grandkids around, you're going to gravitate towards the easy. And here's the thing, if your adult child that you're struggling with sees and knows that, all that does is dig them deeper into the hole, because it's like, well, you just love them better than me because. They have jobs or...
They think like you do or...
Yeah, part of it is this victim mentality.
Yeah.
And how do you get out of that?
So what I would like to speak to, there are a couple of things. First, I want to plug a book because I think it would help. And I've plugged it before, How We Love by Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
Yep.
Might give you some insight into your child. If your child went through a particularly difficult birth or there was something traumatic that you're unaware of as an infant or a young child, sometimes that personality can come out because of their development stuff.
Right.
So it may not be anything you did. It just may truly be because of some developmental thing. And I read the book. There's also a How We Love Our Kids, which is maybe even a more important book in this case. So first thing, I want to plug that book. But I want to say your challenge as a parent is to love and accept your child where they are.
As a partner.
And so when you have someone that is coming at you like that, it, like you said, it's going to take some mental discipline to not have your own knee-jerk reaction to theirs.
Well, it's very easy to do because we want to be around people that are like-minded, like-hearted. And if I've got an adult child who I love, I've given birth to them, I've raised them, you're praying over them, and nothing is working. Nothing is changing. Yeah. Nothing's going on there. What do you do?
Truly, it's about acceptance.
Yeah, it truly is.
It's about acceptance, and it will take more effort on your part. And I understand where you might have the attitude of, sometimes I do not have the emotional energy to be with that today.
Right.
Or to talk to that person today.
Right. They just drain you. It's very draining.
Yeah, because it's a lot of work. But this is the challenge. I think you need to speak new words over that child. Yeah. Because if you their whole life have, whether it's been to their face or behind closed doors, saying, this child's a contrarian, this child,
Yeah,
You've spoken it over them over and over and over again, which means you've spoken it over yourself and how you talk to them and how you deal with
and
them.
And without you knowing, where I hear you going is, unbeknownst to us, we can form agreements that need to be broken with that child. And when I say agreements, they're agreements with the labels and the all the negative talk that you've just described, that basically the accuser, the evil one, Satan, is having a heyday over. And when we speak in agreement, we're basically saying, yep, Satan, you're right. That child is that way. And boy, this is difficult. All we want to do is talk about them so that I can feel better. But, something's happening. So those agreements... There needs to be a spiritual intervention.
So to speak. And again, I want to say this doesn't all have to be Christian or spiritual. It is what you say out loud can become truth.
Right.
in your
it becomes
own
accepted.
Life.
That's what we're talking about as far as agreement goes. You're speaking it out loud. You may not say it in those particular words, but your attitude, your words, your demeanor, everything out there is like going, when I'm around this adult child, I'm behaving the same way. And what you're doing is they're picking up on that. They're like going, well, this is the identity that you're giving me. And this isn't to point blame at anybody. You know, this all happens, you know, unbeknownst to us.
Absolutely. And it happens over a lifetime.
Yes.
Because that's what we're talking about is this child has always been the same.
Yeah.
Right. So to, and we've referred to this before, allowing the child to get out of the box. They are now an adult. They are not the same person. I guarantee you that who they are with you is not who they are with their friends. If they're a contrarian with you, I'm guessing they're not with their friends.
Right.
I could be wrong about that, of course. Right. But there, again, you need to find new words to say about them. So find the things that are positive. Find the gifts, the talents, the personality pieces that are so great. Somebody who's, like that may also be very kind and loving, may be a great, have a great servant's heart.
And one of the ideas that I had as I was listening to this, these friends was, as I thought about it afterwards, I thought, huh, this would be good for the podcast. Hence, this is why we're here. But I thought, you know, if we as a partner, and I've got an adult child who's antagonistic and contrary and everything we talked about, if I took the road of saying, hey, I'd like to discover more about you and your personality. Now, we've talked about the Enneagram before on this podcast, and we'll put a link in there too. But it's like, hey, I took the Enneagram. This is a really cool personality thing. Whether you're believers or not, it's great because it we have all nine numbers in us, but we gravitate towards certain ones. And where I'm going with this is on a self-discovery plane, if you show interest in your own life, in personality and how you're understanding yourself. And then you offer to pitch like 20, I think it's $20 to take the test now. It used to be 12, it's down up to 20. And you offer to pay for them to, hey, go ahead, I'd love for you to take this because I'm curious about this. And it's kind of fun to learn about who you're at. It also shows the healthy, the average, the unhealthy, the average, and the healthy side of each number. So there's a book called The Road Back to You by Ian Morgan Cron. And there's another co-author, I can't remember her name.
How do you spell the last name?
C-R-O-N. Road Back to You. I'll put it in the show notes down here with also the Yurkovich's book. But I've done that with my men's groups. They've all taken the Enneagram. And literally while we're talking, in fact, last week while we were talking on my porch back in my back deck, a couple things came up with two of the different guys. And I sat there and said, hey, remind me what your Enneagram number is in your wing. And they told me, and I said, I'm curious. And again, you don't tell them there's something wrong with them. You just say, I'm curious. I'm hearing you say this. It sounds like your wing has kicked in over there, and that's causing a little bit of the confusion. And both guys looked at me at different times and stuff, and they went, huh, that seemed to kind of settle in. So where I'm going with that is super helpful tool. You show some interest in that antagonistic, contrarian child, agitated child, and maybe that helps soften their heart. You get you start celebrating who they are.
Yes.
And on a side note, I would even, I don't know if I'm saying to this you here in real time, I might want to say something to my other adult kids to saying, hey, I don't want you to think that we love, you know, this adult child more than y'all, but we are really working overtime to really love on them well. So everybody's on equal footing here. We love all of you the same. I just don't want one of my adult children to think that I'm going down and flying to go see this child. I'm spending more time with them because it may be required that they feel more loved. Because that's the other thing too is love languages. What's their love language?
Yeah.
If
it's time and they don't live near you, how are you going to spend that time?
Right. Maybe their love language is, you know, I've never gotten time from mom and dad. They always, you know, call or do this, or it could be touch. Or it could be words of affirmation, acts of service. What's their love language? We all have one. I'll put that in the show notes. So we got three books and a test we're putting down in the show notes. But just trying to throw a bunch of resources your way, folks, so that you can have as many tools as possible to show love, acceptance, curiosity, intentionality with that antagonistic child. And again, think about the agreements. If you want more information about agreements and spiritual warfare and things like that, send us an email at parentpivotpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be happy to talk with you like that, or happy to talk with you on the phone and explain more about that, because there may be some spiritual intervention or deliverance that needs to go on that's breaking some bondage that may go back to either one of your parents or their parents.
Definitely.
You know, if you look back sometimes in that family tree, might not be the only child that's experiencing this, because the scripture talks about the sins of the father are passed on to another generation. So if you're looking for some insight there, you can text me at 714-742-9625. And the email address again is parentpivotpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be happy to walk alongside you and explain more of that in person if that's your wish.
Yeah. All good stuff.
All good stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
No. I just, every time I hear the word curiosity, it's a word that just resonates with me. I use it a lot in my practice.
It makes me feel like somebody's interested in me.
Yeah, and I think it is such an important tool to be curious about the person that you're sitting across from.
Yeah.
And for you to show that kind of curiosity to your adult child is, I believe, will go far.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know everyone's history. I don't know how long the history is. I don't know how deep the history is. I don't know how much hurt has happened.
Right.
But I do believe that if you show curiosity and acceptance without the judgmental thinking behind it, you're going to go further with your adult child.
And as I hear you say that, maybe, when we as parents can own, I've had to own it with our kids, because as a young father, I struggled, I was all about behavior, whatever. But when I can own my behavior and saying, I want to come before you and say, I haven't been the greatest dad, I haven't been the greatest mom, and I'm sure that this is some things that have just, that you've interpreted along the way, and we've said the wrong things, we've treated you the wrong way. I want to come clean and start over. I want to learn more about you. And if you do that and really show some love and intentionality there, that goes a long way. Now, don't expect things to change overnight. In fact, you know what? When it comes to expectations, throw them out the window. You're not doing this for a specific outcome. You're doing this to keep your mouth shut and the welcome mat out.
Yeah.
So you're seeking relationship, and you're trying to move the needle in the right direction. You're not going to get all the way to, the pot of gold and Cinderella and, fairy tale ending right away in one giant step.
Right.
But you're moving the needle, and that's what counts. You're moving it one notch at a time, and praying over them, giving them to the Lord, continue to surrender them, but throw your expectations out the window and the outcomes. It could, maybe things will change in a year, 5 years, 10 years. Maybe they don't change for a long time.
Yeah.
Keep loving your antagonistic adult child. Keep being a good partner to them. That's all we can do. We can only control our side things. Mm-hmm. But be curious about them. Throw some things out there saying, hey, I'm curious about you. I wonder how you would answer these questions.
Yeah.
And stuff. Let's compare notes.
That's good.
Wanna see what I found out, wanna see what you find out.
Good.
Anything else?
No, I think we've covered it well. I don't want to say too much. And,
great.
We start talking in circles when we say too much.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you listening to us on the podcast. We appreciate you sharing us with your friends. If you know someone who's got an adult child and they're struggling to make a connection there, and maybe it's been a child that's grown up all this time and they're wayward, they're antagonistic, they're just, everything's upside down, share this podcast with them.
Please.
Please do. And again, to get a hold of us on any of these things we talked about, you can text me at 714-742-9625, and email is parentpivotpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
We will be back next week with another edition of the Parent Pivot Podcast.
Bye.